السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، او كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, our sisters listening over receivers, and also listeners over the channel Islam radio station. Once again, it is the Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. It is in this Mubarak month of Muharram, and we have just witnessed the conclusion of a nikah. Now, as you are aware, that whenever there is a nikah in this masjid on a Jumu'ah day, then we say normally a few things about nikah. But at the same time, it is taken into consideration that we have a number of people who may think that we got married long ago, now what is this going to be of any benefit to us, or those people who are young. So therefore, something which is beneficial for all, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must put into my mind. Obviously, we cannot invent new ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It is not some kind of a production machine that we have, that we can fabricate and make and invent new hadith for new ahadith and sayings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We cannot invent and make up new ayat of the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif was revealed, there's no alteration, no addition, no change, no interpolation, not even a dot has been changed and will change. So there is no question of coming up with new verses of the Quran Sharif or new ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on such occasion. We will quote the same ahadith and repeat the same things, just as a person who is suffering from some kind of sickness, illness, disease, then he is told sometimes to take that medication for life. Some people are told to take certain medications for life. Now, those people don't question the cardiologists or the surgeons, the doctors, that I must take this medication for life. Also, we know many a times a person is in the ICU or is in his ward and is given some kind of a drip, and that drip takes a very long time to finish. It's just one small packet there, but it takes 2 hours, 3 hours, and sometimes even more. Drop by drop. That's why they call it drip. But nobody complains. The water we drink, the same water, nobody has said now the taste of the water is lost. Oh Allah, now send down some different flavored water. Just as we have flavored drinks, so now we want raspberry water or we want cream soda water. The rains come down, it will be the same water. So what is beneficial for a body of the human being, then it is repeated. The food, the drink, whatever is beneficial for the human body, we repeat. And we repeat many, many times a day. Breathing is essential for a human being to live. Without breathing, the person will die. Now, can a person say that I'm now tired of breathing? How long am I going to keep breathing? So therefore, Allah, stop my breathing. Has anybody prayed that Allah Ta'ala must stop his breathing? So what is beneficial, the person is going to take, irrespective of how long he has to take. The fish deep down in the ocean has never ever said that I am tired of the water of the ocean. How long am I going to remain deep down in the ocean while people outside are enjoying biryani? Has the fish ever desired to come out and enjoy biryani? The enjoyment of the fish is in the depth of the water. Like that for the Muslim, his enjoyment is to be deep down in the ocean of marifat of Allah Ta'ala. Deep down in the ocean of obedience of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is where the enjoyment of the believer is. The enjoyment of the believer is to be deep down in the ocean of obedience of Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just as the enjoyment of the fish is to be deep down in the water, not above the water. Those fish which come above the water are snatched away. Look at the sardine run. When it comes, then anything and everything is used to grab them out. Women will use their saris and men will use their topis and anything they can find, bed sheets and blankets and anything, they will just grab the fish. Or children will even pluck it from the top of the water. Why? Because it is on top of the water. The heat of the sun is now getting it. Like that, when we are going to remain up, then this is what is going to happen, that nafs and shaitan will grab us out. Nafs and shaitan and all these other temptations that nafs and shaitan lays out, they all will grab us, like how those children grab those sardines out of that water. It is time now for enjoyment, entertainment and all kinds of haram pleasures for the world. Drinking, gambling, fornication, adultery, anything that you can think of will be laid out in the form of entertainment. And for them there will be an enjoyment because there's absolutely no fear of the day of judgment. There's no question of accountability. There's no question of Allah Ta'ala watching. There's no question of the person presenting himself on the day of judgment. Nothing of that sort. So there will be enjoyment. This dunya is jannat for those who are disbelievers. Meaning there's no restriction. It is only Allah Ta'ala's ihsan that He didn't deprive us even in this world of lots of goodness. Although the real jannat and paradise for the believers is in the akhirat and the hereafter. But look at the number of things that Allah Ta'ala has given us to enjoy even in this world. To make our life comfortable and enjoyable and pleasant even in this world. Because this is what comes into our heads, that the moment we are going to practice on deen and sharia and Quran and sunnah, our lives will become very boring because it is hellfire on earth for us. So it doesn't mean hellfire. It is Allah Ta'ala giving us hellfire on earth. If we are told that this dunya is prison for the believers, it doesn't mean there is hell for us. It means that our lives have to be disciplined and regulated like how the prisoner's life is. He has to get up at a certain time, sleep at a certain time, he has to eat at a certain time, he has to wear certain kinds of clothes irrespective of how much of money he has got in the bank, even if he's a multi-millionaire and a billionaire. But if he has been arrested for some crime and is put into prison, then he's given a certain kind of dress and garment and clothes to wear. Like that, the Muslim, irrespective of how much he has, there is certain regulation that this is what you can eat, this is what you cannot eat. This is what you can wear, this is what you cannot wear. These are the women with whom you can associate and you can enjoy your life, the women that you have married. And these are the women with whom you cannot associate. There is regulation, there is discipline. It doesn't mean it's a free-for-all kind of society. So what is going to happen around the globe now is a free-for-all, because it's Christmas Day for them. But unfortunately, our programming is also in the same direction. There's nothing wrong. I mentioned a fortnight ago that Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, that أَحْتَسِبُ فِي نَوْمَتِي كَمَا أَحْتَسِبُ فِي قَوْمَتِي. Because we've got a new audience, many may have not heard it. That he says, the meaning of which, an explanation is that just as I am in expectation of reward and sawab from my Allah upon my tahajjud, my namazes, my zakat, my fasting, my ibadat, and especially my standing before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I'm giving an explanation. Just as I have great expectation that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give me the reward if I have to stand up for tahajjud salat and read qiraat in there. He said, just like that, I also have great expectation that Allah ta'ala will give me great reward on my sleeping. Now what kind of ibadat is that, that the person is fast asleep and he says, I will get rewards on that. He will get rewards because if his niyat and intention is correct, that this sleeping and this rest is so that I may get refreshed, so that I may revitalize myself, so that when I get up, I will be able to again earn halal livelihood, to fulfill the rights of my wife, children, family members, poor, needy, destitute, to serve the community, so that I may be able to have strength in my body to carry out the exercises that I'm supposed to be carrying out. Now he's doing that, so that he's sleeping with that niyat and that intention, that he may be obedient when he is awake. So that sleeping of his also, I explained, is like that person who is cutting the wood. Those days used to have a hand saws. So after a little while, they used to sharpen the saw. They had to sharpen the saw. They used to cut with the saw. So that time that is taken up in the sharpening of that saw, nobody deducts any kind of wages because they know it's part of that carpenter's job. So although at that time the saw did not cut any wood, but there is a payment for that person. Like that, this person is having a rest. He say, he worked whole year very hard, so now he needs a little bit of rest. He needs a little bit of holiday. So nothing wrong with that if he has a little bit of rest and holiday. But that rest and holiday must be so that he may be again rejuvenated, so that he may be refreshed, so that his body may become fit, so that his head and mind becomes refreshed to once again obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's every hukam and order. Therefore, holiday is not to be in haram places and haram establishment and be party to all those same sins and actions that others are engaged in. It will bring nothing but restlessness in the life of the mu'min and the believer. Because if we know that if a dog has to eat bones, it will give that dog strength. If a dog has to eat bone, it will give him strength. But if a human being looking at some dog, say, I too must start eating bones, so we know where he will end up. He will be another candidate for the graveyard. So like that, there are many, many things that we are not allowed to do. It will not give us progress. It will not give us any kind of strength and health. It will not give us any kind of pleasure and enjoyment in reality. It will be temporary pleasure, very, very restricted temporary pleasure. But it is going to bring plenty of pain. For if a Muslim is caught, for example, in adultery, then we know the consequences of that. For the person who is engaged in adultery and fornication and is a Muslim, he has got the khawf and fear of Allah Ta'ala at heart. And he is conscious of the fact that my Allah is watching me. Then it is never going to bring him any kind of satisfaction. It's just going to be temporary pleasure and then sometimes lifelong regret. 120 times now you have heard, Mana maasriyat mein mujre mana tori lazzat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza abru ka dafn karna kya himaqat hai. A little while of pleasure, a little while of enjoyment. But when the person is trapped and caught, or his sins and weaknesses are exposed, then is everlasting regret. The newspapers start reporting, people start talking, the whole world starts gossiping. Now what happened? A little while of pleasure and happiness. The person thought he was enjoying himself with that illicit beloved of his. And thereafter what happens? And this is nothing new, there's no evidence required for this. So therefore, he says, Allah Ta'ala wants to give us respect and dignity, happiness, contentment, satisfaction, peace, tranquility. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us. It's not that Allah Ta'ala wants to hold it back. For whom did he create it? Therefore, in marriage itself, which nikah took place just now, the ayat of the Quran Sharif that were recited. But if you have to look at one of the verses of the Quran Sharif in which the maqsad and the objective is discussed, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah ta'ala calls it one of the signs, it is one of his signs, that he created mates for you from yourselves. That means from amongst yourself, meaning from humankind, Allah ta'ala created the mates. Allah ta'ala didn't create the mates from the jinnat kind. Otherwise the person would have made nikah, and thereafter he would have been searching for his wife all around. He would have to go to Tawiz Wallahs and say, I don't know where my wife vanished. So therefore Allah ta'ala said, marry human beings. Muslima. But the purpose, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala giving the benefit of that marriage, I'm not giving you the translation, I'm giving you an explanation. The mawaddatam wa rahma. First of all, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, wa ja'ala bainakum mawaddatam. Wa min ayatihi an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwaja litaskunu ilayha. So that you may dwell with them in tranquility. Now, isn't that a great benefit that the person is finding sukoon in his heart? Allah ta'ala didn't say that you are living in this world and this world is, as we understand it, it is hellfire. So therefore now you can't marry, you mustn't enjoy sukoon, you mustn't enjoy any tranquility and peace. Allah ta'ala wants to give tranquility, they say, he says, make nikah. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how much of emphasis he put on this institution of nikah. The person who does not get married, yet having the ability to get married. The person must have the physical ability, he must have the financial ability. But now whenever we listen to physical, financial and all these kind of abilities, then we go to the extreme limits. Financial will mean now the person's bank balance must be really very, very high. He must have a Rolls Royce. He must have a big palace. Meaning the person can afford to maintain the wife, to give her a quarter to live in, to provide some food and drink and her requirements. And he has the physical ability, then he should marry. Otherwise, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam referred to that person who is not married, but he has the ability, but he's not married. He says, miskeen, miskeen, miskeen. Three times he said, miskeen. So they asked, who, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? Then he mentioned that the person who has the ability to marry and doesn't marry, or the person who is not married. He said, even if he has plenty of wealth, he said, even if he has plenty of wealth, he's miskeen. And the woman also is miskeena, miskeena, miskeena. Because we know that money is not all. The person Allah Ta'ala has created in his body passions. Now where is he going to fulfill those passions if he's not going to get married? And of course those who cannot, for whatever reason, then they are told they must fast. But no way is it given permissibility that if you cannot, then now go and engage in all kinds of sins and haram. And especially in this world where it's a fantasy world, where there's so much of videos and movies and porn sites and everything else that youngsters are engaged in. And not only youngsters, but now we get huffaz of the Quran Sharif, we get haji sahibs and qari sahibs and mufti sahibs and what kind of sahibs. And big business people, everybody. All are caught up. Many, many of them are caught up. So what is the way out? The way out is nikah. Then we will say, and again question, as I have mentioned many times, but many people who are married are engaging in this kind of sins. So those people who are married, if they are not finding sukoon in their lives and with their wives, then it means that they are indulging in these sins and engaging in this kind of disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, which is bringing that restlessness in their lives. If those marriages are breaking up because of these reasons, then we know that whose fault it is. It is not Islam and Sharia. Islam said that now you have a wife. This is a natural outlet for the person. Now why must he go and watch all these type of things and create unnatural urges, and thereafter he does not know how to satisfy his unnatural urge. So then he engages in all kinds of sins. So it is destroying the peace and tranquility of the person. So what I was explaining, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us a life, and he gave us direction of how to live. If we are going to live in accordance with Allah Ta'ala's commands, then we are going to enjoy peace and happiness. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that there are four things which are the sunnah of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And nikah. Nikah is a sunnah of all the anbiya. Even if Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come down and he'll get married, he'll make nikah. So nikah, ta'attur, siwak, applying ether, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized on ether and in miswak, so that we don't cause any kind of offense to anybody that is standing next to us, that's dealing with us, that's talking to us, that's associating with us. And most of the times, all this is for the outside world. When we are going on the outside, then we will do all the application of our perfumes and everything else. I'm not talking about ladies now, I'm talking about the men. But those people who are with their wives, how many wives are complaining that we just cannot take that bad, terrible cigarette odor smell. We cannot take it. It is a torture for us. Some young girls have got married. I receive letters from around the globe. Allah Ta'ala's fazal, there are many, many of them making islah. And they write, what do I do? I'm married. I was not told that this is a filthy habit that this husband of mine has. And after marriage I realize, and he does not know what I am going through. It's a torture. Ask the person who doesn't smoke, stand next to him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is emphasizing, I've repeated this so many times and I will go on repeating if it comes to my mind on that, on any occasion, that Allah Ta'ala protected our tongues in the mother's stomach from the blood with which the baby is nourished. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protected the mouth of the baby. Through the umbilical cord it is nourished and not through the mouth. Because this mouth Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala preserved. Because it was going to take the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, MashaAllah, Inna Lillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Which part of the day or night there is something that we do not have to say? Assalamu alaikum. Now salam is the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now the mouth is filthy and the person is making Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِ لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ إِنَّ كُلِّ الصَّلَاةِ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that if I did not consider it to be difficult, that it is going to become difficult for the ummah, I would have ordered them to make miswak at the time of salat, before every salat. But he didn't make it compulsory for that reason. Why is it that 70 times sawab of that namaz is increased by 70 times if the person makes siwak? In the same way, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he got up, he made miswak. Before bed he made miswak. After eating he made miswak so many different times. To keep the mouth clean and pak. Because all the time the Muslim is making Assalamu alaikum, making us inshallah, mashallah, and inna lillah. And then again, as I mentioned, that look at the condition today. How much of filthy things we say and speak and do with our mouths. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said this was one of the sunnats of the Anbiya. And the last thing he mentioned was haya. Modesty, shame. Now when will modesty and shame come into the life of the person? If we are going to watch all this filth, and if we are going to go to all those places and establishment where there's so much of intermingling unnecessarily. One is a person has to go to work, he has got to go to his profession, he has got to go to his place of employment, and unfortunately he is surrounded by those women folk, it is a different thing. There too he must control his gaze as much as is possible and make istighfar from whatever stealing the nafs does. However, unnecessarily, we are being invited to come to all the shopping complexes, to the malls. Is that something that will bring peace and happiness and sukoon in the person's life? The more he's going to see, it is like the waters of the ocean, that the more the person drinks the water of the ocean, the more the thirst is created in the heart. In the body, the more thirst, the more he drinks the salty water, the more thirst. It will never quench his thirst. His thirst will only be quenched with a glass and tumbler of pure, clean, fresh water. So like that, sins will never bring any kind of satisfaction. There's no dead end to it. You haven't found any person who has said that after watching one filthy film, one blue film or porn site, I got satisfied. It just carries on and on and on. It is only if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if this person turns towards Allah Ta'ala and makes the himmat and courage, Allah has given the himmat and courage to come out of it. So if this person is really concerned about his peace of mind and he wants some tranquility and he wants sukoon and he wants Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy, then Allah Ta'ala will give it to him. Otherwise it's going to bring restlessness. What have those faces brought? Therefore marry, be good to the wife, be cheerful, talk to her on her level. Some people marry and after that they say that they can't communicate with the wife. First is honeymoon. When the honeymoon is over, then after that they say we can't really communicate. Why? Because we are on two different levels. So when you got married, you didn't check those levels. And the person was getting married, he didn't check the level. Now he's thinking of all his degrees and qualifications and that she doesn't have that, so how is he going to communicate at her level? Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam coming into the house cheerfully, smilingly. There was no seriousness when he came into the house. And who could have had more worries and more problems and more difficulties and more tests and more hardships than Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? The whole world was against him at that time. But yet cheerfully he comes into the house. He participates in the discussion with his wives. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam even sweeps the floor, the greatest after Allah ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam even kneads the dough. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam takes the needle and stitches his clothes. Ha! What a Nabi Allah ta'ala gave to us. Setting an example for us. On one occasion when there was nobody around, he told the sahabas, you go away forward, right forward. It's not that start running marathon like with those girls and watching Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam send the sahabas away. That you move on. And thereafter, for a little distance, he even races with his wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Because at that time, the women had absolutely no rights. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave them rights. Now, he even does that. And after some time again, so in that one race, Hazrat Aisha came out ahead. And after some time, when she became a Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in later age, again, this time, he comes away ahead. And he says, this is for that. Because now Hazrat Aisha couldn't overtake him. But the point is that it was not like in public. Now we will take the same Hadith Sharif and say, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam raced with his wife. So what's wrong if I run the marathon with all the thousands of naked women? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged swimming. So what is wrong if I go into the swimming pool with all those women there? We take things completely out of context. But the point that I want to get across to you, that here was the most, the greatest after Allah ta'ala. Who could have been more pious and full of taqwa than Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? But with his wives, look at his character. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's attitude. There was no question of sitting there all the time very serious and talking only about Quran and Sunnah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam discussed, or when the sahabas used to discuss the general affairs, used to listen. As long as it was not something that was sinful. But the whole purpose was to teach the ummah how to live in this world. Now when we are going to do shouting and screaming and acting and performing in a manner that there is no one like us, that there is no such thing as Day of Judgment, so then those women folk will also lose their love and muhabbat for us. So in these days of holidays, there's nothing wrong if the person has a little bit of break. Spend some time in dini activities but have a little bit of break, nothing wrong. But the niyat and the maqsad must be just that the person gets refreshed so that he may be able to be more obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if we want some kind of peace of mind, happiness and contentment, it's not going to come through plenty of wealth or a very beautiful home or plenty of gold and silver. Nothing wrong with that. If Allah ta'ala gives it to somebody and he gives it in a halal way and the person is using it also in a halal way, there's nothing wrong. What I am saying is that if we are searching for it in that, we are not going to find it. We are only going to find it in the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If we are going to get back to deen, then we will find it there. The person was searching for something outside under the lamppost. So somebody asked him, what are you searching for? He said, I dropped a coin. A gold coin I dropped and I am searching for that. So he said, why are you searching? Where did you drop it? He said, I dropped it inside the house. So if you dropped it inside the house, why are you searching under the lamppost outside? He said, because there's light here. So now if there's light outside, will he find it there? He will have to search for it where he lost it. Like that we have lost this noor of the Quran Sharif and the noor of the Hadith Sharif. We will have to go back. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi. Ye khaki apni fitrat mein na noori hai, na nari hai. So restlessness will come because a public holiday will take just 5 minutes extra. Because people have to go sometime, airport here, there and all that. Inshallah it will finish on time. So we have to understand that that restlessness will come if we are going to distance ourselves or move further and further away from the Quran and Sunnah. Look at the restlessness in people's lives who are involved and engaged in haram activities, or those who are involved in illicit love relationships. Phool mur ja gaye chandni dal gayi apna anjaam bhi ke gayi har kali. Phool mur ja gaye chandni dal gayi apna anjaam bhi ke gayi har kali. All these faces which are pretty faces and which are baffling us and which are snatching us away. The person is unconcerned that he is involved with his neighbor's wife, or is involved with his own cousins, or with those who are close or distant. Whilst the husbands are out, is visiting those wives. And those women also who have lost their sense of modesty and haya. So you think he's going to find any kind of peace? And those beautiful faces, how long is it going to last? The Miss Worlds that people chase after, let them meet with an accident and get third degree burn. And thereafter see how many cameras chase after them. Where will all those journalists then go? They will disappear from there like mules. Phool mur ja gaye chandni dal gayi. The flower has withered. The moon has waned. The brightness of the moon is gone. Apna anjaam abhi kya gayi har gayi. They have said what is the end result. They're showing us what is the end result. That whatever we do in this world, but, and how long we may live, but the end result is we're going to go to the Qabristan, we're going to die. Meer dunya e fani me kya she mili, bekali, 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 bekali. What else are you going to get in this world except restlessness? Engagement in sins is going to bring nothing but restlessness.
Be nisha ho gaye har nisha, qabr mein khaak chaani magar kya mili.
Ha, all the nishan is gone now, nothing. Be nisha ho gaye har nisha. Go to a garden where there's beautiful flowers, red, blue, yellow, violet and all colors. After some time when it has withered and fallen, then dig up the soil there and search for the colors of those flowers and see if you will find any colors. Like that, these pretty faces which are attracting us to such a level that we forget Allah Ta'ala. And we engage in sins and vices and evils, whether it's on the TV, on the movies, or wherever it may be, on the beach fronts here and there, wherever we go to watch all these type of faces. One is a person is living there, is enjoying the waters of the ocean, staying away from haram. But where people purposely go for sins, in search of sins, so then this is what is going to happen. End result, Qabristan. The spirity faces that the beauty is going to vanish. Qabr mein khaak chaani magar kya mili. So my dear brothers and the sisters who are listening over the receivers and radio stations, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us a beautiful deen. Whichever angle you look at it, there's nothing but beauty. All angles you look at it, there's nothing but beauty. Ajmal akmal ashar. There's beauty in every teaching of deen. It is very simple, practical and easy. Ajmal ashar. Akmal. And it's perfect, perfect. Look at this Nikah institution. Perfect institution. No religion can give us anything better than what Islam has given to us. But provided we make amal on it. Now we are following the same pattern that our nikahs and marriages also cannot take place unless lots of people are invited, big, big halls we have to engage. And then again, sometimes the cooks are on holiday, so nikahs are delayed. Sometimes the grandmother hasn't come from America, Canada. Sometimes this person is not there. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Sometimes the sahaba, some of them made nikah. They didn't even inform Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that we are making nikah. Afterwards, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw some color on the mat, they said, what is this color? That time he said, it made nikah. And yet they were so close to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Because they knew that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will be far more happier and pleased to hear that this sahabi of mine who was living in a certain area, then he found the right match and he made nikah. And after that he announced it that I made nikah. Islam is simple, easy, practical and beautiful. Let us bring it into our lives and then see what Allah Ta'ala gives into the heart. I conclude that Allah Ta'ala gives sukoon in the heart, right inside. It's not something outside. Outside, sometimes that person can be in terrible pain and suffering, has got no money in his pocket, he's got patched clothes, he's living in a hut and a shack. But Allah Ta'ala gives to the obedient ones sukoon inside the heart. And sometimes the person is rich and he can be a king, but Allah Ta'ala gives him sukoon. The condition is obedience to Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah Ta'ala make this nikah a nikah in which the husband and wife's hearts are united. Allah Ta'ala give them tranquility, peace, happiness, mawaddat, muhabbat. Allah Ta'ala unite them on deen and sharia and Quran and sunnah. Allah Ta'ala make it the means of pious and righteous children coming into this world. And all others who are married, and those who are not married but have the ability, then they should look in the direction of making nikah as soon as possible, so that it will protect their gazes and their chastity. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of the entire mankind and also the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam.